down. Go ahead and give it to me. And I was like, this is cool. And then the drummer sang backup vocals and he goes, break, break, break down.
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
We didn't have any honey. So I improvised and you'd use maple syrup in my tea, and it's not bad.
No, yeah, I've done that.
Have you?
Well, I'll just drink maple syrup straight from the bottles. I need a flask. Like Elf. That's right. Buddy the Elf kind of had like a flask of syrup.
There's really nothing maple syrup can touch, and that makes it worse, right? I mean, in the breakfast realm, I mean, like an egg is fine with it. I like to dip my sausage in it. Hell yeah.
Okay.
Hubba hubba.
By the way, let me just correct you guys real quick. It's not syrup. It's syrup.
By the way, we've started. This is the podcast.
Oh, whatever. It's not syrup. It's syrup.
No, it's syrup.
Okay. Oh, syrup.
How did I say it? Did I say syrup or syrup? I don't know.
You said syrup.
It's in my head.
You're sipping on some scissorup.
Okay. All right. Nice ears, by the way.
Thank you. I'm wearing, my headphones are at the studio, so I'm rocking my daughter's bunny ears headphones.
They're really nice.
Yeti's rocking some Greg Cody Show gear there.
Wow.
Look at that.
That's nice. Right, everybody. We have merchandise.
Yes.
Wow.
Live today.
Yes.
You can go to gregcodyshow.com or thegregcodyshow.com, either one, and find our shop there. Click the shop link. Get yourself some hats. Get yourself some shirts. You want a dog bandana? Maybe that's available. Maybe it's not. Check it out.
I think we should claim, I know that we've claimed both of those websites, but we should just pick one. And then if people type it, then they get there. But like, what are we going with? It's thegregcodyshow.com.
Thegregcodyshow.com.
You know, technically the podcast is called The Greg Cody Show, but
.com.
I like it. Let's tell people thegregcodyshow.com. Check it out. We're live.
I have no idea what's for sale in the merchandise store.
That's a good way to make it seem like we're organized around here, Dad. That's
I mean, that's, it's like I'm glad we're online with it. I'm glad the store is Dad, finally
Yeti
open.
Yeti and I have been putting in the work. Yeti more than me. Like we're doing. We got this. Like
okay.
You just sit back, relax, and let us handle it.
Okay. It'd be nice if Greg Cody had a say in it, but you know.
Yeah, we've had like three meetings with you. Like the fact that you don't retain anything, like at some point, your retention is going to be a big theme in this podcast. So I'm actually glad that you have completely forgotten three meetings that we've had recently.
We should peel back the curtain and reveal that like Greg's mantra this entire time is like, I only want like one item sold.
Yeah.
And no one's going to buy anything from us. Why are we even doing this? Like yes. I've never seen Greg so rattled with like with doubt.
That's a good point. Let's prove my dad wrong here. My dad is very pessimistic about what you, the audience, are going to do as far as our merchandise store. We have a lot of fun things, more than my, like Yeti said, more than my dad would have hoped, because my dad wanted to roll out one item a year for the next 10 years.
I don't have time for that.
You really don't.
That's another tie-in to this episode, because you and I seeming old and being out of shape, Dad, is a theme that we will get later in this episode. What do we have in this episode? This is a fun one.
It is. I mean, we have a continuation of the father-son Cody Olympics. And, you know, to quickly recap the sadness, I am down 2-0 to Christopher after golf and pool. And this time we do basketball, free throw shooting, and ping pong. And they need to go well for me. They really do.
We need to put it on the poll. Should you get winded shooting free throws?
Yeah.
I mean, it was not pretty. It was a heave. Those free throws were a heave for me. I mean, I put up some air balls on free throws. I'm going to say that.
We don't want to give away who won them yet, but let's just say it didn't go well for either of us. Like neither of us felt like, I feel like it's a good way to tease it because it doesn't give away who won. Neither of us felt good about ourselves after the free throw competition.
Right.
No, and we also, that's the good thing about this episode is that's on the back burner, the Olympics. Like there's some Greg Cody storylines that are going to be answered in this episode this week.
Yeah. And I want to, you know, I was thinking about it and it seems like me revisiting my past is sort of an occasional theme, if not a running theme of this podcast. I think that's a product of growing older, but you know, we just had on the Stratomatic guy who relived a piece of my youth, the Stratomatic inventor. We've had on my childhood neighbor, Gary the Bag Rosenfeld, who I think remains one of the most beloved guests in the history of this podcast.
That's debatable.
Okay. And today.
I loved Gary the Bag Rosenfeld.
Yeah. Oh, don't we all? Bagging it. And today.
All right. So, you know, very historically, my dad has claimed that he made a 50-yard field goal when he was what, Dad? In his 20s? In your 20s?
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So we've always wanted to get to the bottom of that. We do today. We talked to Hal Habib of the Palm Beach Post, who was there on the scene for that event. We get to the bottom of that. We talked to Phil Taylor, a guy that my dad on the Levitard show a few weeks ago and for years now has claimed to have beaten in a foot race. Phil Taylor, a writer for Sports Illustrated. Well, at least he used to be. And he's right. Written for the Miami Herald, longtime sports writer. So we have both of them on today to get to the bottom of whether my dad is full of shit or not.
Yeah, thank you. And I can honestly say both of them had very surprising answers.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's going to be...
It's quintessential Greg Cody. I'm excited for everyone to hear this.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting. And I feel like the 50-yard field goal has become a part of legacy and lore. I feel like it's mythic in its grandeur. And today, for the first time, we have on the lone living witness to that 50-yard field goal.
I did. Wow. I said that already. Yeah, it's wild.
I know, but I said it more dramatically and in a bad voice.
Right.
So it takes on a little bit extra.
So this is exciting. We got Cody Olympics. We got new merch. We're getting to the bottom of Greg Cody's sketchy memory, as far as I'm concerned.
But also, Greg, you had a pretty good first round of the draft.
Yes. Thank you, Yeti. Wow. Almost on cue.
Let me tell you real quick before we get into this.
Yeah.
Our friend of the show, Steve Arduini, who you know famously failed at his alleged superpower of being able to rearrange letters in a word into alphabetical order.
Yeah.
He actually mirrored your picks for the first round and won his draft pool.
There you go.
Wow.
You're welcome, Steve.
He did something right. Good job, Steve.
Is that the Steve of Steve in Cat fame?
Hashtag Team Cat.
Okay. I always compare my... I've been doing a mock draft in the Miami Herald now for 31 years. This was my 31st annual. And
how many Zagactos?
Well, I always compare myself with Mel Kiper, who is, you know, the father of mock drafts for ESPN. And this year, Zagactos, of course, a.k.a. Exactos, are the right player to the right team, which is not as easy as it seems. And this year, Kiper and I both had six. So we tied, but there's a tiebreaker. It's called Super Zagactos, and that's right player to right team in exact draft order. And in that category, the final score was Cody 6, Kiper 5.
Why? Because one of his exact Zagactos was like a trade or something?
Yeah, there were eight teams with two picks in the first round. So one of his picks was the right team, but not the right order. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
You guys tied. That's not a tiebreaker.
I mean, it's a legit tiebreaker. I won.
That's just you needing to find a way to win, I think. Which might be a theme in this episode.
Well, no, I beat Kiper on a tiebreaker. Don't take that away from me.
Does your voice like this because it's just your voice now or because you were at Elton John the other night singing your ass off and this is just a byproduct of both?
Yeah, that was Thursday night and I've been a lifelong fan of Elton John and I first knew about him in 1974, which is actually a couple of years after he became really big. I was 19 years old. What a great time for me. I had just started working at the Herald.
Just so much drugs.
Actually, the drugs hadn't quite started yet. But
started? Jesus.
I was just started working at the Herald. I had just started driving, actually. I think I might have had my first girlfriend. I mean, life Jesus. Was good for me. And
his name was Paula Radke.
No. And some friends and I were meeting at a friend's house on the way to a concert at the Orange Bowl. And I didn't remember the date, so I looked it up. It was July 7th, 1974. The headliner was Leon Russell, but I remember him being totally dominated and overshadowed by another group on the bill called the Eagles. Anyway, on the way to that concert at this friend's house, I had never heard of Elton John at that point. He wasn't on my radar. But part of the music playing was a song called Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, which just astounded me. It was like nothing else I'd ever heard on the radio. I didn't know exactly what it was. It was a little trippy, a little surreal, almost psychedelic, absolutely beautiful. And I was hooked. And 48 years later, Thursday night, your mom and I are at the Heat Arena seeing his last Miami concert of his farewell tour. And it was extremely emotional for me. There were a couple of songs where I teared up during Rocket Man and Someone Saved My Life Tonight. I think they were. And
I thought you wanted me to jump in.
No, I mean, you can jump in now if you want, because I do wonder, you guys are both a lot younger, but I do wonder how common it is to have one musical artist who has been that big a part of your life.
Well, we're not old enough to have followed someone as long as you, but obviously I'm sure Yeti has a more, you know, bigger connection to a group than I do. I mean, I have some acts that I like, but I just want to make fun of real fast that you're actually buying that this is his last time coming to Miami. Can we just say that? Can I just get on the record there and saying that Elton John will be performing in South Florida at some other point?
Okay. I would take you up on that.
I don't want to poop on your tears, but I feel like this is the longest farewell tour ever. You really, Dad, you genuinely think he's not going to be back to South Florida ever?
It's a farewell tour in its fourth year because the pandemic ate away two full years of it and erased two full years of it. And yeah, he's 75 years old. I'm totally convinced this absolutely will be his last major world tour. Now, I do think he's as popular as he ever was, or virtually, because he just had his biggest hit in decades with
Dua Lipa. Yeah, that was a good song.
Yeah. And by the way, the crowd the other night was noticeably younger than most Elton John crowds. And it was because of the Dua Lipa duet. So at any rate, he's still going to put out music. I'm sure he's still going to do the occasional, concert, but he's not going to tour anymore.
Well, there you go. If that kind of counts. Yeti, I'm sure you have one of those.
Greg's saying he's not going to do an extensive tour anymore, yeah, allegedly. Right.
Yeah, allegedly.
Now, Greg, if you really, you know, wanted to be funny, you would have said you would have started tearing up during Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. But, you know, you know, that would have been the one. Or Crocodile Rock, you know.
Yeah, there you go. And, or The Bitch Is Back, maybe.
Tom Petty, actually, I fell in love with his music before I ever even heard of the Beatles.
Wow.
He is the reason I wanted to make music. There were some friends practicing for a talent show and they played Breakdown. They were just in our high school auditorium. I was waiting for Dad to pick me up for, you know, late after school for some reason. And these three guys, they were called the Mystery Machine. They started everything out. I'd never heard the song before. They kicked the chorus and, goes, "Breakdown! Go ahead and give it to me." And I was like, this is cool. And then the drummer sang backup vocals and he goes, "Break, break, break down." When that hit, I was like, I don't even play guitar yet. But I want to write songs and I want to be in a band.
Wow.
Like, it changed my life right there. I didn't even start playing guitar for another year and a half after that. But that's when it all set in. So Tom Petty.
It's the least surprising thing in the world that you knew the exact moment that you like wanted to love music.
Yeah, I do pinpoint those things.
Tom Petty's one of those ones. I'm so pissed that I never got to see him live.
Yeah,
that one truly.
Me too.
That got me.
Yeah, the Beatles are my favorite, but I followed him longer. Easy. And you know, Dave Grohl, you know, because Nirvana was a big thing for me when I first got into music. But no one more than MC Hammer. Daggone it. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Dad, I just want you to know that thing that like that 2-minute spiel you did on Elton John was like really cool, and if your voice wasn't crap, it probably would go viral.
I mean, I could do an entire podcast on Elton John. I didn't even start to mention how much I've admired him outside of music for his AIDS foundation has raised more money to fight AIDS than anybody else on the globe. His advocacy for gay rights, his championing of younger artists is legendary in the business. I mean, he's just really had a career that's epic in every way, and just such an admirer. And there are millions and millions like me. His following is adoration. It's hard to describe.
I saw somebody like my age at that concert you were at, and I saw on their Instagram story, did he end it like getting like lifted up like into the screen? It looked like he was being lifted from a crane into the screen to like, was that his exit? Was that his big exit?
He's done that on his, we've seen other, it won't surprise you. We've seen other concerts of his on the farewell tour.
Right. And you'll see more.
And no, I won't. And he always does that. And it's the worst. If I was his agent or, you know, producer or whatever, I would dissuade him from the way he ends a concert. Okay. Because he's 75 years old. And frankly, he looks it on stage. I mean, he doesn't move very well. He walks with a limp despite hip surgery. And at the end of the concert, he comes on for his encore dressed in a bathrobe, in an old man bathrobe. And at the end, as the people are bathing him in outrageous sonic applause, he gets in a chairlift and he ascends the equal of about three stories into the ether, into the mist.
Yeah, it's odd.
It's beautiful visually, but it really accentuates that, wow, this is a really old guy.
Well, you just said it's not beautiful, beautifully, essentially. I mean,
it's beautiful visually, but it to me, it doesn't end the right way. It's an anticlimactic end to the concert, but that's a nitpick.
You know what's not anticlimactic? Our two interviews that we got coming up right here.
Nice segue. I agree. They're profound. And like I say, there's a surprise in both of them.
These two interviews, we get to the bottom of whether my dad is full of shit or not. The first one is with Phil Taylor.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options.
Which is why when you choose USAA auto insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
They're formerly of SI.
Filling it.
Well done. That kind of thing.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Look at that guy.
Cody's.
Yo.
All right. How you doing?
I'm good. Hanging in there. That's,
the third gentleman in the set is my son, Chris Bunny Ears Cody.
Yeah.
Yes.
My daughter. I'm using my daughter's headphones right now. It's tough times over here.
Yeah. Chris looks like the baby picture you showed me of him.
Yeah.
Shortly after his birth.
Everyone yes. said my face is really never like I've looked this way since I was like 6 months old. Yeah. My mom tells me.
Right.
Is that good or bad?
That's a good thing. As you get older, it's a good thing.
Somehow my hairline is the same as when I was 6 months old, though. So that's okay. That's a bad thing.
Phil, I was actually telling Christopher that the era of our famous foot race, I think, was when he was like a toddler.
Yeah.
Would it have been like very early 90s? Like, when was that?
I was in Miami from like 83 to 87.
So it was before I was born. I was born in 87. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Good math. Classic Greg Cody getting, it seems like that might be a theme here of Greg Cody getting the facts wrong.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of wondering if this was some sort of, you know, fantasy that was ginned up at some point. Cause, you know, if you're remembering the 90s,
I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday. I mean, listen, This whole thing started when we're speaking with the great Phil Taylor, who I think of. You and I were Miami Herald stable mates basically in the 80s.
Right.
Correct. And what did you mainly cover at the Herald?
I actually started out as a news reporter at the Herald. As an intern, I was covering Delray Beach city politics.
Yeah, great beat.
Yeah, it was. It was, you know, it was plum. It was cushy. Christine Brennan, who was on the Herald sports staff at the time.
Of course.
She left to go to the Washington Post. And somebody knew that I liked sports. And they asked me if I wanted to join the sports department. So this was probably in 84 that I joined the sports department. And I covered, you know, I was like the third or fourth guy on UM football, you know, did some Dolphins sidebars. And then the UM basketball program started, covered them for their first probably two seasons or something.
So the rumor started, that in a late 80s foot race between you and I, that I won.
The rumor.
It was a rumor started by me on the Levitard Show podcast. And I have a longstanding philosophy in life that if I don't really remember something specifically, I give myself the benefit of the doubt.
I understand.
Is that wrong?
No, yes. I'll allow it.
Okay. What do you remember of that foot race?
I do not remember a foot race. I mean,
what?
I have no recollection of any foot race ever happening.
No way.
No, I have no recollection of that.
Wow.
So it's not as though I'm, you know, disputing the results. I don't think it ever happened, Greg.
This is interesting because this honestly makes me think that it could go 50-50 now. Like maybe he is telling the truth and you just don't remember.
I mean, you know, that's possible. We're both older now, but
right.
But I feel as though, I mean, I was no great athlete or anything, but you know, I would have been in my mid-20s, and the one thing I could do really was run. I was pretty fast. And I just can't, you know, can't even, not only can I not remember it, I really can't envision a scenario in which that could have taken place. The race could have happened. And that would be, it would be more likely that I would forget about it because I won.
Yes.
Right.
That is true.
Wow.
Losing to Greg Cody in a foot race would be memorable. That's a good point.
Right.
Yeah, I'm back on Phil's side.
Okay. You not remembering the race is not at all what I expected, because I asked my wife, do you remember when I raced Phil Taylor? And she absolutely remembered it.
Oh, okay.
Where was it, Dad? Paint the picture here. How did you race? Like what? Like
exactly. You're corroborating witnesses. I mean,
yeah.
Okay. At the time, I think both of our wives were watching the race. I think we lived in a townhouse and I think you all were visiting us. And we went to a park right up the street.
Has that ever happened right there? First, Phil, do you remember ever going to my dad's house and like hanging?
I do. I do vaguely recall.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
We're
all
heating
right.
up now.
So I feel like I'm a lawyer and this is like a case.
We need your mother on the phone because her on the Zoom, because she literally remembered. Now, she remembered Phil winning.
She did.
But.
Wow. So now there's three, like now this is all over the place. Dad, he definitely won.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm prepared. My mom has a good memory. I'm prepared to rule on this. I think it happened and Phil whooped your ass and that, like, that's it.
Early, much more reliable source to me. You know?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
I mean, if wow. Lee said it happened and you beat me, that would give me really cause to, you know, doubt my own memory.
Right. See, she even remembered a detail.
Okay.
She, in her mind, she remembers you stumbling a little out the gate and me being ahead for like the first 10 yards and then you just racing past me.
Yeah.
There it is. Landlines.
Where's my phone?
In 2022. Landlines, ladies and gentlemen. And he's answering it too. Like, it's just like, you think you just let it go. And would you unplug right. it?
Edit that out.
No, nope, not editing it out. Leaving it in. Okay. Leaving it all in.
Phil, you're an NBA expert. Is that right?
So are we moving away from the race now?
Dad, you're taking the L on it though, right? I'm with Phil. Like there needs to be let's finish this before we talk basketball.
Okay. There is no evidence that I lost that race beyond your mother's faulty memory?
No, my mom's a great, like, my mom's very trusted. She's married to you. Like, she's going, like, her honesty with this, like, she has no reason to lie about this. Like, why would she go against you unless she's being honest?
I feel like Phil not recalling the race at all is really damning evidence against his having
no
won.
I think it's, he's right, his point is so right. Like, a race he won is just like, I would forget that, whereas if he lost to Greg Cody, it'd be like, whoa, I'm never gonna forget that.
See, I think the opposite is true. I think if you, well, first of all, over the years, Phil, how many foot races have you run in?
More than you might imagine.
There you go.
Right. Really?
Yeah, more than you might imagine.
There you go.
Just like one-on-one challenges.
Well, remember, like he said, it was his main thing. So that's the thing he would bust out. If, like, anyone was coming at him, he's like, you want to race? I'll race you for it.
Exactly. You know, I will say that, you know, when I was in college, a Division III school, and I didn't do it for very long. My freshman year, I did run track, and I was a sprinter, and I was on the 4x100 relay team. And
wow. No shot, my dad won. All right. This is clear now.
I was, you know, faster than your average guy off the street.
This is clear. This is clear now. The jury's ruled.
No, it's not clear. I feel like if you stumble and yet rally to beat Greg Cody in a city park, you never forget it.
It's clearly, he like literally forgot it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're one of more than a few guys who I beat in right.
Yes, there he is.
All right. Well, with due respect, Phil, I am not going to take the loss on this.
Yes, you are.
You know what, Greg? Because I thought we had put this to bed, because this is not the first time that this has come up. It was, I don't know, several years ago. I think I was on Dan's show and we were talking about something else. And I think you said at that time, did you know, or maybe Dan said, Greg Cody has been telling us that he beat you in a race.
Wow. So you've been saying this for years, Dad. That's wild.
That's why on Twitter I said, you know, I was surprised you were still perpetuating this myth. Had quashed it.
Well,
I love
it. I mean, you don't even know that it happened.
Oh, stop it, Dad. Take the L. No, take the L.
It's lost in his memory, whereas I have a memory of me winning. And your mother thinks I lost, so it's even. She thinks I lost.
We need to ask Phil's wife.
Phil thinks it didn't even happen.
Who's usually right when you and Erlene disagree?
Thank you.
I refuse. I take the Fifth Amendment on that question.
All right.
I can't answer that, but all right. Well, this has been a surprise ending by you, because I thought surely you would have remembered that foot race.
No, and I have no recollection of it.
Yeah. But this is kind of like the foot race in that at the beginning I was leaning towards my dad, but Phil just flew right by you, and now Phil's the winner.
By not remembering?
In this interview and in the literal race. But no, but just like with mom facts, like as the conversation went on, it's become clearer and clearer, kind of like that race.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your son is he's a very intelligent man.
Yes.
Okay. Especially when he agrees with you. Am I right?
Yeah. Especially when I'm wearing bunny ears.
Phil, we're going to let you go. I really appreciate you coming on to catch up. And
my pleasure.
The next time we have a rematch of a race that you don't recall ever happening, you will be the favorite, but I want a 20-yard head start on a 40-yard dash.
Dad, you are not. I'm not, Dad. As your agent, you are not running any races anymore. Like with your, by the way, and this is not a joke, Phil. We are about to talk next to Hal Habib about whether my dad actually made a 50-yard field goal. Like, this episode is Catch My Dad in Lies week.
Okay.
So
this is the sort of thing this is what I mean. These are the sort of things that happen as we age. You know, the older we get, the better we used to be, kind of.
Thanks for joining us,
unlike
man.
Unlike Phil, I can guarantee that Hal Habib remembers the occasion of my 50-yard attempt. The question is whether or not he agrees with my memory that I actually made a 50-yard field goal.
Oh, God. Fingers crossed.
You know, I remember, I feel like I remember, you know, we used to talk a lot back then about, can we kick a 50-yard field goal? We used to talk, one thing we talked about was, whether I could score a point against just a decent NBA player.
And oh, wow.
The NBA player we picked, this tells you how long ago it was Danny Ainge.
Wow.
And we talked about whether I could score a point, like in a game that's one-on-one, I think it was like 1-on-1 to 21. Could I get a point off him?
Get a point. I think you'll just pop a shot, right? You'll get a shot off, hopefully.
Right. In fact, taking a page out of Greg's book, I remember playing Danny Ainge and scoring a point off of him. Yeah, he may not remember.
Yeah, Danny doesn't remember, though. Totally. That's the thing. Yeah,
I think part of that conversation, Phil, was actually me, I think, claiming that I could score a point off Chris Evert on a tennis court.
That's right. Yeah.
That's
right.
Wow. See, memory lane. So you've been the same, Dad, your entire life. Yeah. You haven't changed.
Yeah. Well, I'm consistent.
Yeah.
It's amazing that Phil remembers that, but he doesn't remember the foot race.
That means his memory, like, I don't know. I don't know.
Because it stands out.
Maybe. Okay. There you go. There you go.
That's all I can tell you.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, I love it. Thank you, Phil.
My pleasure.
All right. Thanks, Phil. Good catching up with you.
Yeah, same here.
Okay. I think this begs for you and I getting your mother on the phone at some point.
Let's call her right now.
Okay. Because I can't let our audience believe that I'm totally making up this foot race. I may have misremembered winning, but I am not making this up.
Remember, she can't hear you.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm recording a podcast. That's a nice hello from my mother. So we just got off the phone with Phil Taylor, and he doesn't remember this foot race at all. That Dad.
That's how unimportant it was.
That's what I mean. And he's saying that it's so unforgettable because he clearly won, and he would he'd remember if he lost to Greg Cody. So I just need you my Dad is claiming still victory here. Like, how clear is this memory for you?
No, it's clear.
Like, you're 1,000% sure. Like, give me.
I think it was before you were born.
Right. That makes sense because Dad thought it was in the 90s because he thought I was two or three. And Phil was I left the Herald in 87. So this, it's all coming together. Mom says it's before I was born. Phil was with the Herald before I was born. Okay. Dad, you lost this race. Dad can't hear. Mom, you can't hear Dad right now. But Dad, respond for a second.
Well, I think I won the argument by virtue of the fact Phil Taylor doesn't even remember the race happening.
Okay. Dad's just holding, in his hand that Phil didn't remember the race. So, but Mom does, and she gave a detail that makes it definitely before 87. You said I was a toddler.
Right.
That's just, I was minus a toddler.
Correct. I mean, by the time you were a toddler, we lived in the other house, and I know right what park it was at. I remember it was in the old park in Lauderhill. I remember it was at the park down the street from there on 82nd. I remember that the joke was that the fact that we were even having a race, because Phil's younger than Dad, probably 10 years. So to begin with, even though back then Dad was obviously a lot younger, this guy was in his 20s.
No, that is exactly what Phil said. God, I wish Phil was still here. We should have done this with Phil on the phone.
And I was in my 30s, spry as a chicken.
Yeah, you were in your 30s, Dad. And and you guys were joking at that time about him being more in his prime than you, is what Mom is saying. Dad, this is it. It's 1,000%. Any jury in America right now, after hearing all of this, Dad, you lost the race.
Oh, he lost the race. The fact he even wanted the race just tells you everything you need to know about him. He hasn't changed a bit.
The fact, it tells a lot about Dad that he turned that into a win at some point, though. At one point, that's a memory Dad had, and then at one point, he flipped it to a win. Interesting.
Of course.
All right, Mom, thank you.
50-yard field goal. We'll see about that.
Yeah, the 50-yard field goal is next. We're about to talk to Hal Habib, so I'll talk to you later.
All right. He who doesn't even remember an event cannot claim victory
Dad,
in it.
You're just holding on to this one thing. Every other detail that we've learned, you at some point just flipped it. It definitely happened. Phil is wrong because it happened. He doesn't remember it, but it happened.
I'm very insulted that...
Way to create a memory with Phil Taylor, by the way.
What do you mean?
Phil Taylor's lived such a life that day that he came over and enjoyed a nice day with you, nothing, no recollection of it. I mean, he does remember coming over your house. So maybe the hang was okay.
Right.
Were you guys smoking weed back in that day?
I don't think so.
I didn't want to ask Phil that because I don't know how he was.
We don't want to go there. I mean... That may or may not still have been in my weed era.
Your weira.
My weird era continues.
Okay. Let's get the Hal Habib. Let's continue this conversation of, is Greg Cody full of shit?
Okay. We're speaking with Hal Habib, who covers the Miami Dolphins for the Palm Beach Post. Hal is a survivor, as I am, in print journalism. We both remember when... newspaper staffs were large and had dozens of people. And now both of our newspaper staffs are down to less than 10. Is that right, Hal?
You could count it on this hand right here.
That's right. Yeah. In fact, we were speaking with 1/3 of the Palm Beach Post sports writing staff, I think, at this point.
There you go. That's it. You know, here's a weird fact for you, Greg, that I bet you've never thought of. But outside of people related to me, I've probably known you longer than anyone else on the planet.
Wow. How about that?
Paint the picture for how strange my dad is. Come on.
Oh, that's easy. I know what you're going to get to eventually, Greg, but what I want to get to is whether you've told your listeners and viewers about the remarkable, unique skill you have. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm excited.
I'm not. I'm afraid to ask, but no. What do you mean?
I'm talking about the 2 or 3 dozen pens that are probably still in the ceiling on Sunrise Boulevard in our old office. You had javelin throwers like accuracy with planting these pens in the ceiling.
That is cool. I did not expect that. Wow.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I think it was one of those styrofoam weird ceilings where if you threw a pen or even a pencil, but the pencil had to be super sharp with a fine point. If you threw it just right, it would stick up there.
But why would you do that? I think is what a lot of people are thinking.
I think we had way too much time on our hands back then.
Rain delay or something? Or
no, this was in the office.
Oh, okay.
Like instead of actually working and, you know, Hal, that was the John Wollen era, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, you mentioned a strange word in there a minute ago. Working? What are you talking about? Working?
An office together? You guys had an office? That's weird.
Yeah, it was a very cozy office.
Yep.
In what is, I think, now a real estate building next to the Hustler building.
Yeah, that's right. The Hustler.
And
yeah.
There were a lot of really talented people who went through that building, though.
There were.
So it was, those were some really cool times.
They were. Now that that era and the era of you being perhaps the only living witness to to my 50-yard field goal attempt, that was when exactly? Like what year was that? Do you remember?
Probably late 70s.
Wow. Okay. Geez. So that does go way back.
So I was minus 10.
Late 70s. Okay. Now it has become legendary, Hal, because I keep mentioning
it. Yeah, it's not legendary. It's just you saying it.
Maybe mythic. Mythic would be the word that in my ute back in the mid late 70s, I kicked a 50-yard field goal. I've said that on the Levitard show. Nobody believes me.
He said it during sex.
Well, and yet this man, Hal Habib, was there. Now, Hal, what is your recollection of all this?
Please tell me he missed it. Please tell me he missed it.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Greg.
That we were just on the line with Phil Taylor, who my dad claims he beat in a foot race, and Phil didn't remember it at all. So you like if you said that, we would believe you.
I have no idea what this foot race business is all about, but even not knowing, I can totally vouch for the fact that Phil Taylor kicked your dad's butt.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Okay. My mom said the same thing. My mom said the same thing, and she was there. So that's right. But right. To the
I'll
field
take
goal.
The L on that one.
All right, but to the field goal.
No chance.
To the field goal. Well, did it happen? Did my dad make it? Set the record straight.
And I've heard that through third parties that you've actually invoked my name as a witness before.
I have. First, Hal, let me tell you what I remember. I don't remember exactly where it happened, but the way I remember it is that the bet was, and I don't even remember who the bet was with, the bet was I would have 10 attempts from 50 yards. And in my mind, I missed 9 in a row.
Wow.
And then on the 10th attempt, the ball hit the crossbar and dramatically bounced in.
What do we got, Hal?
I think that I can prove for a minute here that my memory of this whole thing is pretty exact, except for 2 points. One of those points I was hoping, Greg, you could kind of settle for me is who the third person was as a witness. I thought it might have been Phil. Or maybe, I don't know, Mark Newman or somebody like that. There was a third writer.
Well,
there.
Phil said in the previous interview that he was only from at the Herald from 82 to 87 or something. So if it was in the 70s, it was probably before Phil Taylor.
Wow. I'm going to have to reach out to Mark Newman. In my memory, you are the only living witness
still roaming the earth.
Check back next week. Now we got next week's episode. This is exciting.
Okay, so you're going to have another witness coming on board here.
Well, meantime, we are relying just on your memory.
All right. This was one of those days where we had nothing to do, and you and you shut off your mouth saying you could kick this field goal.
Right.
And I was covering high school sports at the time. So we went over to Fort Lauderdale High. I knew the football coach, and I asked him to borrow a football. And as soon as he got done laughing over why we were borrowing his football, he handed it to me. From there, we went to Holiday Park, very close by.
Right.
We went to the Northwest Field.
Oh, love the details here.
You were aiming at the south goalpost.
Wow, yes.
Gee.
I mean, are we talking details here?
I love this.
Wow.
And I believe that you were, for whatever ridiculous reason, you were
nude,
kicking barefoot, I believe. Is that, does that sound crazy?
That could
crazy
very well,
that right? Sounds
yes,
right.
That could very well be true. I spent a lot of my life barefoot at that time.
That's why your feet look like they do.
Thank you.
I don't need any visual evidence of that.
Please not. Right.
No, I think I probably would have kicked barefoot. Yeah.
Okay. Why would you do that? Wouldn't that?
I love the idea. You said how that you have two details here that you don't remember. I love the idea of you remembering which direction he was kicking it in, but not whether or not he. I hope we're building up to you not remembering whether he made it or not. Go ahead. Continue. I'm excited.
Well, we totally agree. 9 attempts. He kicked a couple. And missed by enough that we almost ceased to continue watching. We were that confident that he was going to lose his bet.
Wow.
So finally he got to like number 9 and he missed again. And we all know what's coming at number 10. And I guess I should stop here and disappoint you, Greg.
Whoa.
By saying that my memory, the part that I'm not sure of is whether it was really 50 yards or 40.
Oh, wow. I love it.
I know
this.
That's like a buzzkill.
Oh.
But I can't swear it was 50.
I love it. That sounds perfect.
Might have been 40. But, Chris, I'm going to disappoint you with the next part. He lines up for attempt number 10. The ball's in the air, and it's going. Starts to come down, hits the crossbar, bounces over. And I just fall on the ground. Can't believe it. I'm just laughing my butt off.
That is great. No. All right.
He actually did hit the crossbar and make it. He did like a reverse Cody Parker. He doinked it.
Dad, Hal knew what direction exactly on which field. It was a 40-yard field goal. I've heard enough.
Well, Hal doesn't seem quite sure whether it was 40 or 50. So
here we go. There's a theme here. My dad just like... I love this. This
it could have
perfect.
Been 50.
Greg, what's it worth to you for me to say it's
50?
Well, we'll go with your memory. I'll take a 40-yard field goal at this
That's
point.
That's still impressive.
Me.
That's what I mean, Dad. That's a classic you, is that 40-yard field goal is not a lot of people could do that. And you did it, but you made it 50. The barefoot thing is weird. Was it because like it was this like that just how you rolled in the 70s? You just didn't wear shoes at all?
Yeah, I was coming out of my hippie era, I think. So, Hal, you think it might have been Mark Newman?
That's just a guess. I mean,
trying to think of who else.
Who else could it have been?
Right.
We're going to have Mark Newman on next week for sure. We're doing it. So this is exciting.
So that he can go, nah, it wasn't me.
I know. And then, all right, talk to you later.
Okay. Hal, I want to let you go with this. I would like you to hold out the possibility that it really was a 50-yard field goal.
It was. It's possible.
Mm.
Thank you.
It is.
I want to know. My dad is so annoying with his like wordplay and stuff, and he loves messing with names. How often in your time knowing him has he said for the halibut?
Oh, he would. I would hear that quite a bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Occasionally, I'll still call him halibut if it slips.
Yeah, we had a lot of we had our own language in that office, really. We really did. Stuff that would make no sense to anybody else.
Thank you for the memory of the pens in the ceiling.
Yeah,
because I had honestly forgotten that.
How could you forget that? That's your unbelievable skill. You'd finish an interview and be so excited that it would be whoop straight up.
That's so fun. That the theme of this episode is you forgetting shit. I just want you to know that.
There you go.
And me having unusual skills like pens in a ceiling.
And kicking barefoot.
Yes.
that's 40 or 50
kicking
yards.
Kicking 50-yard field goals.
That, 40 yards, that's an underrated part of this story, is the barefoot thing. Like, I don't know who does that. That's weird. Thanks, Hal, for joining us.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that. Thanks, Hal. Appreciate it.
Greg, did you even live at 1440? Was your dad even named Wild Bill Cody?
Like, yes.
I have some serious questions now about the stories you've been telling me the whole time.
Well, I was shocked that we talked to two corroborators from my past. One didn't even, Phil doesn't even remember the race happening. And Hal, all of a sudden, is shortening my record field goal from 50 to 40, he thinks. It's blasphemous.
But what kind of witness? Erlene Cody's a great witness, though. Like, the fact that she remembers it so perfectly, why would she go against my dad?
That's
so
right.
That's just... Wait, no, that's not... I'm saying that's against you. Right, Yeti?
Oh.
What's your verdict, Yeti?
All right, if I'm your dad's attorney, I'm going to try to say, of course she's going to go against him because she's trying to bust his chops at all times because he's annoyed her for the last 40 years.
That's
but,
fair.
But... If as me as just Yeti, not Greg Cody's attorney. Yeah, she's telling the truth, you know, and Phil put it right. Like, you know, she's the one to trust here.
Yeah.
And
the fact she had some details about like the fact that they were joking about like, why are we even doing this?
Right.
Like there were some details there that was like, yeah, she remembers this.
I want to go on record being very disappointed with P. Taylor for not even remembering the damn race. I mean, come on, Phil.
It's another thing. Like, it would be much more memorable if you had beaten him, but it was just another day at the office racing people for him.
But in some ways...
If I'm Greg Cody's attorney, I will argue before the court that he is trying... He was so devastated by the shame of being beaten by a one Gregory Paul Cody that it must have caused hysterical amnesia.
There you go.
Of that one event.
That's fair.
But I'm not your attorney.
And then the field goals...
Phil beat you. Take the L, Greg.
And then the field goal's 40 yards after all that.
See, like, that...
I can't wait.
Still impressive.
I can't wait to play that sound on the Levitard show.
Like, no.
That is going to be great.
There was no need for Hal Habib to ruin the legend of the 50-yard field goal.
Look, it was you just... should be proud of a 40-yard field goal, especially if you did it barefooted like he said.
Right.
In my dad's defense, it's pretty hilarious the way Hal did it of like, I'm not sure. It could have been 40. It could have been 50. Just bringing in a little doubt.
Right.
Him even himself being unsure, but just mentioning it is so perfect.
Okay.
It's almost as if I texted Hal beforehand and was like, please, say something.
Wait a minute. You didn't.
I don't have I swear to God, I did not.
Okay.
I should have.
Once again, as Greg Cody's attorney, though, you know, it could have been the 40-yard field goal never takes into account the extra 10 yards for the actual goal. So if he kicked it from the 40, that, you know, it technically traveled 50 yards, right?
Yeah, that's
right. Do I not understand?
Yeah, but these
football?
Sports writers know how to track. They were counting the end zone.
I'm taking a 50-yard field goal. I am. Hal was not sure. He thinks it could have been 50. That's what we're going
with. That's the hell of it. There we go.
That is the hell of it.
Yeah, so that was really good. Loved hearing Phil and Hal. Yeah. That was fun to listen back to. Now, we got to get moving. We got to get to the Olympics.
I know.
Two events.
Me and my dad are very ashamed of what's going on here. Let's get to the first one first. It's the third event in this. It's free throws. Mm-hmm. We are shooting free throws, 50 free throws, the best of 50. I'll just go in saying neither of us were happy with our performances, but let's see who won.
I just want to slip in that it was very nostalgic because we shot free throws on the same court where I coached Chris Cody to a youth championship.
The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody presents the Cody Family Olympics. Brought to you by The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody. Father versus son. Old versus young. Not athletic versus someone who, just a few years ago, turned out to be more athletic than any listener had previously imagined. 5 weeks, 10 events, a house divided. Who will reign victorious? The Cody Family Olympics, brought to you by The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
All right, we are here in a gym. The old stomping grounds where I played rec basketball growing up. I've hit many a three in this gym.
Yep.
Me and you have, you know, tossed the old ball around for the last 10 minutes warming up, and A little bit of a wake-up call for both of us.
Yes, it's been tough.
Both of us need to turn on some magic here. This could look very embarrassing for us.
Yeah, I got to. It's been so long since I've done free throws. I have to. I can't do a set free throw. I pretty much just got to make a jump shot. That's all I got
to
do.
I'm kind of with you. Like, I used to be able to just do it without jumping, and now there has to be a little bit of a...
Yeah.
We both sound really old. Let's just get to
one
it.
One of us more than the other one.
Yeah, but my jumper is not... I used to... I have a jumper, so hopefully I find it. But here we are. We're about to do best of 50. We're going to do 25 at a time. You want me to go first?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going first. Here we go. All right, we're at the halfway point of our best of 50 free throws. We've each done 25. I'm not happy with I'm winning so far by a decent amount. I'm not happy with my performance. How are you feeling? I have 13 out of 25, so slightly above 50%. And Dad came in with a whopping 6 out of 25. Yeah, so it is a big wake-up call for our athleticism. How are you feeling?
Terrible. I mean, this is an event that I actually thought I had a chance to win. And after being 0-2 in the first two events, this is a rude awakening for me. So far, it ain't over.
I feel like we're going to make it out of here alive. Like, I feel like you're going to... you've coughed a few times, but you don't seem too bad.
No, I'm a little winded, a little sweaty, but we're good, man. I'm looking forward to the next 25.
I want to get above... I want to get to 70% at least.
No, how ain't going to happen.
God, what happened to me? Age, am I right? As he's wheezing, let's do this. Second half. All right, this was a real wake-up call for me.
And for me.
Yeah.
Wow.
We both did terrible. I mean, I won, but I think the bigger story here is just how we feel about ourselves.
Well, you at least hit the better half. You're over 50%.
Yeah, just to get that out of the way, I won. I got 26 out of 50, so 2%? My dad got 11 out of 50.
Which is 22% for those without a calculator at home. And that's a wake-up call because back in my day, I swear I could do 70%. And now I'm a shell of that. So
Does it kind of like, are you still going to be parading around saying you could hit a major league fastball? Like, is this just an overall wake-up call for you about your age?
I wouldn't say it's an overall wake-up call. I am down 3-0 in the Cody Olympics, the father-son Olympics. We have a big event coming up. I fully expect to win.
Ping pong.
I have conceded nothing. So we're going to take it from here.
Like, I used to have a good little jumper, and today I was close, but I have not played a lot in the last 5-10 years. So it's just, I used to be able to like not play for a couple of years and do better. This is a wake up call for me. Like, I legitimately might get into shape now, and it might be because of this basketball outing.
Yeah. I looked to find a rhythm that was never there. There were a couple of times when I'd make 2 in a row, but I could never go on one of those runs where you make 5 out of 6 and you're starting to feel good.
At the free throw line, you got to use your legs. I remember that now. Like, when I played 1 year of travel basketball, like at the free throw line, they're like, use your legs.
Right.
And the ones where that you don't use your legs, they come up short and you start getting tired because you're out of shape. And it's just, you can hear us right now. We're beaten down.
Yeah, and what you just said is totally true with me. I was not using my legs. I was just pushing the ball with my arms. A lot of times...
I didn't want to say it during it because I didn't want to give you any advice because I'm still trying to crush you.
Yeah, I know that. I know that.
I said it to you while we were doing it. I feel like you could, on your day off, come here. This is 10 minutes from your house once a week and just do what we just did for an hour. Break a little sweat. You realize what we just did is good exercise.
Right. No, I get that.
Like, if you did that once a week for a month, in a month, you'd probably be... shooting over 50%.
Yeah, no, totally.
I'm destroying you, though. Back to our competition. You're down 3-0. We're on to ping pong next. You feel confident in this? Are we doing 5 or 7 games? We should probably just do 5.
I would do 5. The game's to 21. I mean, that's a lot of ping pong, best of 5.
Yeah. Well, maybe even best of 3.
Let's start thinking best of 5.
No, we need to decide right now. Best of 5?
Yeah, that's first 1-3.
We could play to 11, best of 7.
Yeah, 21, win by 2, first 1-3 wins.
Best of 5.
Yep.
All right.
Do it.
I'm embarrassed. Just shame. Like, I think of myself as an athlete, and I am not happy with that performance, and that is, it's inspiring me to get back into shape. I'm not even kidding. I'm telling you, Yeti, 2 months from now, it's gonna be like, oh, Chris, it seems like it's the damn basketball. I went out and played basketball, and I was not what I wanted to be, so it's changed me. Greg, are you going to be able to say the same in 2 months?
Maybe. I tell you, I was embarrassed.
I was so embarrassed for both of you that I really wanted to make time to go to the park yesterday and shoot some.
What do you think you'd do?
See what I could do out of 50.
What do you think?
I think I could get 60%.
All right. All
no,
right.
No way.
Oh, wow.
It'll be outside, too. So
have you played basketball like recently at all?
No, I haven't shot in at least a year.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's not actually that long. All right, we'll see. Yeah, you should try it. Record it. Let us know. We'll play it in next week's. I mean, it can't be any less interesting than our. speaking of that, my dad and I, mainly my dad, we played golf later this week. So it's been a real active week for Greg Cody.
Yeah.
So we just kind of didn't do ping pong.
Oh, no.
That's right.
So now I've got to re-record another voiceover. You know, 10 events, 6 weeks.
Oh, no. Right. Or maybe we'll do 3-1. Who knows?
No, it's just a joke. Yeah.
Yeah. We're realizing, like, you know, we'll get it done. We're just, you know, we're not going to kill ourselves. Right. And we had the Sunday, we tried to squeeze golf in, and we were going to play ping pong in the evening. And my dad on, like, the 16th hole hit me with, like, what do you think we just don't play ping pong? And I'm like, you know what? That's okay.
That ain't happening.
And look, I think us doing that is funnier than anything we would have done in the ping pong.
It's funnier than me not losing again. I mean.
Right. So it's 3-0.
Because ping pong, I'm going to beat you. I know that.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Just know that going into next week, it is 3-0, young son in the Cody Olympics.
That's true. Yeah. We're doing ping pong next week for sure.
Yes.
And I'm supremely confident.
Yeah. Last week we said we were doing ping pong this week. So I like the idea of us just continually not doing ping pong and every week saying that we're doing ping pong next week.
That'll be my ace in the hole, because if I continue winless, I know I've got ping pong in the bag.
Yeah.
I have a feeling this ping pong is going to be really, really difficult to watch.
Don't let this basketball thing get you thinking that I'm out of my game. I had a weak moment. I'm going to be back.
Okay. I mean, I play ping pong like a pro.
Okay.
Like an Olympian.
Here we go. All right. Well, this is a good episode.
Okay. All right.
So should we remind everybody about the website?
Yes.
Oh, please. Yes. Okay, I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Do the full pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. I want you to go to thegregcodyshow.com. That's going to be a place where you can find all of our episodes. They'll all update there within an hour after launch. They'll pop up. You can get to whatever player you want to. We'll have our YouTube videos. We'll show up there. And most importantly, you'll be able to leave us reviews from thegregcodyshow.com on, you know, on Apple, and you can rate us on Spotify there as well. So please do that. You can subscribe from there. You can also leave us voicemails. That will be when we do voicemail segments. There's a little microphone in the bottom right.
Wait, Yeti. So
you can leave us voicemails.
Are you saying there's a one-stop shop for everything Greg Cody Show?
Wow.
It's a one-shot. It's a one-stop shop for everything on the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody. All can be found at thegregcodyshow.com. But most importantly, you can click the little shop link up in the top right-hand corner, and you can get our merchandise. Right now, we've got shirts. We've got hats. We'll have a mystery item every week or every month. Yeah. We'll be releasing a new random item. So stay tuned. We'll have new designs coming out every few weeks or every month or so. So stay tuned there. But go ahead and shop today.
Yes, please.
And we're going to be doing, contests and, you know, giveaways and ways to engage with you guys. And, you know, if you show us that you're supporting us, we're going to be doing cool things with our listeners. We've done, like, you know, Zoom hangouts, Zoom happy hours for people, you know. So, you know, if you support us, we're going to be hanging out with you, because this is like, this is a big deal for us to launch something like this. And Greg Cody thinks it's going to be a huge flop. So let's let's prove him wrong. Okay. Show him Greg Cody Show listeners that, you know, you're going to come strong for us. Hey-o.
Okay, so let me ask a dumb question.
Here we go.
And if it's really dumb, then edit this out. The only place to get the merchandise is through the store link in the website.
Yeah,
right?
You go to thegregcodyshow.com, and there's a shop link or store link, one of the two. You click. It's at the top. It's in the main, one of the main menu options is shop or store. I don't know which one it is, but click that and boom, it's all of our stuff. It's easy to, it's affordable. It's great. And it's soft too. If you notice, I've been wearing the Yeti shirts a lot recently. It's because it's the same material, and Yeti's wearing the shirt right now. I'm telling you, I wanted to try these shirts before we put them out there. These are good shirts.
Yeah. You know, I sent one for you and your dad, and you've worn them both.
Yeah.
I never got one.
Oh, you're saying that one was for each of us? Yeah.
Look at this guy.
My bad.
He just assumes they're both for him. Jesus.
I just assumed Greg hated my shirt.
Yeah.
You know? No. I never got your shirt.
No, yeah, that was just, I thought.
This guy.
Yeah, that's my bad. I like the shirts. Like I said, I like the shirts. All right, so check out our stuff, thegregcodyshow.com. We're really excited about this. We're nervous about it. Give us your feedback. Show us that you're liking it. Show us what you don't like. But yeah, help. If you support us, we'll support you. Like we'll shop at your store. Send us the links to your stores as well. Yeti, I'll buy a shirt from you.
Yep.
Like we're gonna, let's all support each other.
Yeah, kumbaya.
This is baby. Taking forever. Let's get this episode over.
All
with.
Right. Yeah. Pod family, love you all. You know all that. Go to the merch store.
All right, we already said that. Yeah.
Buy like crazy. It was a fun episode. It really was. Hal, Phil, thank you guys both for cameoing on here. And you can't believe.
Arlene.
Yeah, Arlene.
Oh, yeah,
Cody.
My lovely wife. And you'll never believe what we have in store for next week's episode. So stay tuned for
that.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Don't forget it's Mother's Day. Buy things for your mom.
Oh, good on you. Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone. That kind of thing.